back with more badass liberal talk. Fart Cop Radio.
Wanted to talk a little bit about this new movie coming out. I'll have some details before this is over. It's called Orwell Rolls in His Grave. It's played at a couple of film festivals so far, but it's not in general release. I don't know if it's going to be in theaters or on television or available via video cassette, whatever the deal, but I will find out. This movie is about how we've lost control of the public airwaves, how they're owned by just a handful of people who are all Bush fans, and once you control the information in the country, you control pretty much everything because nobody will be outraged about an issue they've never heard of. One of the things they're going to talk about is how Bush is just flat out writing tax breaks for the billionaires that just makes them tax-free. I'll get into a little detail here in a little bit, but you and I are paying a lot of taxes. The people with money are paying a lot of taxes, but the super billionaires are skating off into the sunset tax-free. And the reason nobody's outraged about this is because nobody knows. So we're going to have some of that coming up for you. Also, I want you to know, without getting into a bunch of specifics, we're going to give you a couple examples, just can't spend a lot of time. You can tell by the contributors what kind of informative movie this is going to be. It's a documentary on the theft of our radio waves and our freedom. Some of the people involved, Mark Crispin Miller, good friend of BarCup.com. He's an author and professor at New York University. Bernie Sanders, congressman from Vermont. I'm not really familiar with him, but I like the way he was talking on this tape. Vincent Bugliosi, the man who put away, that evil guy, Charlie Manson. You know, we had a chance to interview Mr. Bugliosi, but we missed it. He was available for interview last time he had a book for sale, and they asked if we wanted a piece. And I said yes, and I looked for someone that would interview him because I didn't want to make a fool of myself interviewing him because I hadn't read the book. All I could ask him was a couple of Charlie Manson questions. But we liked Vincent because he put Pig Boy on notice. He said, Pig Boy, I'll bet a year's salary or $10,000, whatever you want to do, you get in a room with me and let's debate for 2 hours. Let's see which one of us is the big liar. And, of course, Rush can never win, and he can't even get near a fair debate, so Rush wouldn't talk to him. Also in the movie is Jeff Cohn, founder of Fair, and I think I read that he was Donahue's television producer. That's a maybe. John Nichols of the Capital Times, Aurora Wallace, don't know her, New York University. Our good buddy Greg Pallast is in it. You know, when he's in it, it's going to be good. He's going to be all fire and brimstone. He's going to get the blowtorch out and talk about what the Bushies have done. Michael Moore's in it, Dennis Kucinich, and some other people are in it. And even in the closing credits, they say thanks to BarCup.com, this infotainment today, our good friend Michael Dare, thank BuzzFlash and MakeThemAccountable.com. So you can tell they're running with the right group of people, and they got the right message. But I'll have you some details before this is out. Orwell Rolls in His Grave. I'll put the link back up, too. But it's not like a laugh a minute. It's more like a, oh, my God, is this really happening? I think you'll like it. It's a good movie. Here's a clip or two from Orwell Rolls in His Grave. Details how to get it coming up.
A CNN Gallup poll conducted in March 2003 found that 51% of the American people thought Saddam Hussein was personally responsible for the September 11th attack. Why did they think that?
Well, the readers of BarkCop.com know that. Saddam, 9-11, 9-11, Saddam, Saddam, 9-11, 9-11, terrorism, Saddam, Iraq, terrorism, 9-11, Saddam, 9-11, Saddam, terrorism, 9-11, Al-Qaeda, Saddam, Al-Qaeda, Baghdad. BarkCop.com readers know better, though. We called the little liar on this stupid, dirty tricks years ago.
Yesterday, there was a vote in the House of Representatives, which would, if it carries into law, provide hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to a handful of families in this country. Wasn't mentioned in the newspaper.
This political chicanery has been going on for either decades or centuries. But Bob Dole was good at this. He was always giving a tax break to Archer Daniel Midland. They always gave him a whole lots of money. So what he'd do in return, he'd call it farm legislation. And he'd say, if you have between 37 and 38,000 workers, and you provide ethanol and soybean, and you have this status and that status, I mean, he would just find out whatever Archer Daniels Midland's particulars were, and he would write a law that anyone under these circumstances, anyone that falls into this category, gets their taxes cut in half. So all of a sudden, Archer Daniels Midland, they're $100 million ahead. So they give Bob a half a million for his campaign. Pretty sweet deal. That's what they're doing now with these with Bush and his crooks. They're writing these laws that they call it a fancy name like the Taxpayer Relief Act, and then but in the fine print it says if you make more than 10 or 15 million a year, I heard this on radio, and you know I can't remember the stats on the radio. The people that make some money are the ones that are getting hurt the worst here. If you make the example I heard was if you're a doctor married to a doctor or a lawyer married to a lawyer and you're making maybe a million a year, you're getting soaked. Now they're coming after you. But if you make 50 million a year or if you make 250 or you know whatever, if you make 200 million a year, you're not paying anything. Now people don't know about this. They talk, it could have been Air America Radio I heard this about. But they said there's like 7,000 families in the United States that make more than something, more than 30, 40 million, 50 million a year. I don't know the number, but it's for 7,000 families. They are paying no taxes. They're paying, you know, less than a penny on the $100 kind of taxes, where me and you are paying a whole lot, and the rich, the slightly rich, are getting soaked. But they just write that in the law, that if you're making more than 50 million a year, you don't have to pay taxes. And they put it in some 700-page or 7,000-page tax bill, and nobody reads it.
The repeal of the estate tax. Half of the benefits of that repeal will go to the richest one-tenth of 1% of the population. All of the benefits will go to the wealthiest 2% of the families in America. You got that? 98% of the families do not pay one nickel in estate tax. I walked down the street a couple of months ago. Guy goes up and he says, Bernie, I'm really angry at you. You know, why are you angry? I've got $20,000 in the bank, and I want to leave my money to my kids, and why are you stopping me from doing that? $20,000. This guy's not going to pay one penny in estate tax. People don't know that. So what they do is they poll. They got very good pollsters, and you play off the general ignorance of the population. People don't know much. Death tax sounds pretty good. Everybody who dies, you got to pay a huge tax to the federal government. Not true.
We put the death tax on the road to extinction. The death tax is a bad tax.
So did you hear those thousands of people screaming? Those thousands of people were screaming, hooray, hooray, the super, super billionaires get to have more money. And when they cut the taxes for the super billionaires, that means they're either going to raise our taxes or cut services. And now you understand why we can no longer afford Medicare or Social Security. Because they're giving that money away to the super billionaires. One other thing. While they were showing the president rallying the poor people to scream, yes, more tax cuts for the super billionaires, they were playing a bunch of pictures on top of the audio. Monica and Gary Condit and Lacey Peterson and Kobe Bryant, that kind of stuff, reminding you that the distractions are there so you don't ask any questions. And you know, the front page of the paper could read, you're losing your right to vote, the billionaires are taking over, you've lost your voice in your government, you no longer get the truth from the major media. But no, instead of that, we get Scott Peterson and Kobe Bryant. Somebody has to look after the serious problems in this country. And I'm glad we have the people who produced Orwell Rolls in His Grave. Quentin Tarantino is one of my favorites. And Howard Stern can be funny depending on the guest. So when Tarantino and Stern got together, I thought it turned out very, very fun. Plus, there was a good point that Tarantino made. I mentioned it recently on the page, but when this Condi neck ring things blew up, things like that ought not to blow up. When this blew up, it made me think of this, so I dug it out. Going to play it here for you.
Tell me about this quick. I said this yesterday. I don't know if you heard the show, but
no, I didn't.
Spike Lee saying that you use the word nigger too much in your movie.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Like, I mean, what is he talking about?
Well,
that's a guy who uses the word nigger all the time.
I know. That is my problem with that.
Right. I'm not a big Spike Lee fan. I find him very flawed as a human being. But
it's funny. Yesterday I did the Charlie Rose show, and I actually like full on addressed the whole Spike Lee thing there. But I don't want to like turn it into a pissing contest and keep talking about it all the time. I'm gonna let that stand.
Yeah.
But My problem, I mean, my feeling about this whole nigger issue,
yes, right,
and I have a very strong feeling about it, is like, to me, there's two questions going on here,
right.
All right, when they say that. One question is this. One question is, if they're coming from the place, by asking that question, that where I'm a racist, if they feel in their heart of hearts that I'm coming from a racist place, all right, well, then that's the question. Okay, that's where they're coming from, all right?
Right.
If that's not the case, and that's not the case with Spike, he knows.
Right.
All right. If that's not the case, then it's simply about me being a writer.
Right.
All right? And then they cannot say, I can't write another character. They can't say, I can't write black characters, I can't live my black characters, I can't be my black characters, I can't be my Filipino characters.
Right.
I can
You
be
can't
my
write
characters.
Women in that case.
Right.
Exactly. You know, Spike Lee can do the Johnny Cash story if he wants to.
I thought that was a great line. I'd like to see the Johnny Cash story as done by Spike Lee.
Right.
I'm not saying he can't.
Right.
Right? Knock us out.
Right.
Right. But the thing about it is, as a writer, I am God as a writer.
Right.
And all these characters are mine and they're me, and I'm telling the truth. And you know what? He might not like it, but there's a hell of a lot of black guys in Compton say nigger all the damn time.
Right. So right. You put
I always said nigger was almost dead until rap brought it back.
Yeah. in Carson, in Inglewood, that's where I'm from. That, not everybody, but there's a hell of a lot of guys where
and
that's
you're,
the
And you're reflecting that in your characters. Well,
not
that's what
that.
I said,
I
yeah.
I saw a movie. It was a Wesley Snipes movie
yeah.
a couple of years ago. I forget the name of it. But he writes these two badass white dude characters.
Right, right.
And the white dude who's about to, you know, try to kill him says, you know, we're going to go get this African American. And you know.
Yeah.
That
to me,
never
that is
happened.
The biggest lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would, you know, I should be
and you were in Spike
for
Lee's...
saying something like that.
Right.
If I
Absolutely.
Said something like that,
and you were
I would
Spike...
just be beaten up.
And you were in Spike Lee's last movie, right?
Yeah, I was in for a second.
Yeah.
Well, that's what kind of pisses me off about all this.
Like, why couldn't he say it to you? Why is he going to say it in
that's
the press?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly my problem. He called everybody else and called Army Archer and didn't have the guts to call
because...
me. I think it's a cowardice issue.
Yes. Well,
I'm not President Clinton, and he's not Jesse Jackson, and I don't need his endorsement to make a movie.
Absolutely.
That's right. Quentin Tarantino. Thanks, man.
So I thought we'd get through that. And maybe the next time someone sees a word or a picture on the site, you don't have to punch the panic button right away. It's possible it's a joke. Even if I say something stupid, I might not have meant it. You might write in and say, hey, Bart, liked the page, but I had a question. I get mail that says, hey, knock it off. As if I'm six and mom's telling me to quit beating two spoons together. That's not the right way to approach. What you should do is say, hey, Bart, love the page. But I was curious about something. And then ease your way into your criticism. But if you come at me with knives, I got no choice but to shoot you. And there's just no reason for either of us to do that.
Bart Kopp. He's better than a sharp stick in the ear.